conducted by James Smith with Mr. Ernest Miller, who is 79 years old, a resident of Bishop, who was a chauffeur for a few years for Mr. Z.F. Bishop, the founder of Bishop, Texas. This interview was conducted at the Miller's home on August the 1st, 1973. Mr. Miller's principal occupation until he retired has been a farmer.
Well, I came to Bishop on the 8th of November, 1912. And my father had been down here. He bought a section of land from him. And he was riding around in the car one afternoon, and he just made the remark. He said, you know, he said, I'm going to have to buy me a car. He said, not only that, I've got to get somebody to drive it. And father spoke up and told him, said, well, so I've got a boy up home that might be interested in driving it for you. He said, well, how soon could we get a hold of him? Father told him, so just as soon as we get back to town, I can wire him, have him come down here. So he did, and I started down there in a car, but I returned back in Houston. I found out that I had done the wrong thing. I should have come on the train. But I sent the telegram to read that I was coming in the car, so I started down here in the car. But I didn't get any farther than Houston. When I landed here, I went to work, I guess it was about the second day after I got here, driving his car. And I'd make sometimes three or four trips a day, hauling men around over the country here, showing them the land that we had to sell. And then back in those days, too, when you come down here on the train, that's what most of the prospectors would come on the train. I had to go back to Corpus to get the tickets validated over there. And any number of times I'd have to take them back over there to Corpus, and then they'd take the train in Corpus and go back to their home.
How was it when it rained?
Well, if it rained, we didn't go, that's all. There was 30 days there. 1913, one time, I didn't even have a car out of the garage, so there wasn't any paved roads in the state of Texas at that time, especially in South Texas. And first time I ever went to Corpus, why, there wasn't a foot of pavement in that town, but they had streetcars over there. But they didn't have any pavement anywhere. It was all dirt. And I broke a spring on a car right in front of it. Well, it's gone now, but it's near his hotel. It was right near at that time. And there was a hole of water, and I couldn't tell anything about just looking at it, how deep the hole was. It must have been about a foot deep. The wheel went down in there, and when it come back up, where it snapped that spring, I had it too. Right in front of his hotel. The car spring there broke my life, all the driving I've ever done. And we'd be over there sometimes. He had his main office in Corpus. And when we'd sell a piece of land over here to anybody, we'd just take it back over there and make out the deeds and everything, you know. And we'd gone over there several times, and maybe just come a big rain in Corpus. But he'd have to phone back over here to see whether it rained or not. If it had, well, we'd have to stay all night. But it's fortunate enough that I never had to stay all night. We always managed to get back home. But I don't remember the population of Corpus at that time, but it, I don't suppose it was over 25,000, 30,000 people there when I came there the first time. And all this land you see around here now was in pasture. Been here long enough to see all the equipment cultivation. It wasn't a, I don't suppose there was a oil well in South Texas. Of course, there was some up around Beaumont, Houston, but there wasn't any down here at all. And what actually they started farming here where they raised cotton and seed there all together. Later on, they began to raise many vegetables. Labor situation got so high here that they had to quit that. Farmers couldn't make anything out of it, so consequently they just had to give it up. I remember one time we had three or four vegetable sheds down here at Bishop. Oh, I don't know, they were probably 150 feet long, 40 feet wide, where they sort out these vegetables, pack them, ship them out, you know, to different parts of the country. All gone now. And they grow here, you just grow the finest kind. But as I said, you couldn't get anything for it. And if a farmer can't make anything, well, he's not going to do it. Of course, back in those early days here, while we raised more cotton than anything else. That was before the tractors came into being and you just raised enough feed to take care of your livestock. I guess I own the third farm old tractor that's ever in this Bishop Trade territory here. I gave $1,250 for the tractor and a two-row cultivator and a two-row bedder. Today, the same outfit, practically the same outfit, it cost you $4,000 to $5,000 to get the tractor alone. The cars we had that day at time, if you had a flat out on the road, you fixed it right there. You didn't wait till you got somewhere else. You fixed it right there. And you didn't have any such thing as a demountable rim either. You took the tire off of the wheel and took the cube out and patched it or put a new cube in and then you pumped it up with a hand pump. Quite different than what it is today. We had a first car he bought was an Oldsmobile, 7 times the touring car. Oldsmobile special. And, later on, he bought a Cadillac for his wife. And he hired a fellow to drive that for her. She had a chauffeur and he had a chauffeur. I was his, and both of them Hatfields was his wife's car. 1913 Cadillac, first car that I ever saw in my life with electric start on. 1913 Cadillac. I had to crank mine by hand on the one that I had over with me. That's about all I know. Had some questions, but just volunteered to tell things. Well, I don't know what you want to know or what it'd be of interest to you.
Well, we have some definite ideas. Bishop was a growing community in those very early days, and then it kind of went on the decline. What are some of the things you think contributed to the decline of the growth of Bishop?
Well, one of the main things is after a cell need was put in down here, and instead of those people working down there and trading in Bishop, well, they went to Kingswood and Corpus just like they do today. All those businesses have down there used to have something in them. But today there's just a few of them down there. Because they don't patronize the ship. If it wasn't for the wonderful school system that we have here, and about four different churches down there, there wouldn't be very many people living in Bishop. That's why most of them are here. Especially those who've got children. They've got to stay here on account of the school. They'd rather live here than live in Kingdom, of course, because we've got a real, real good school system down there. But that's the decline as far as the business part of Bishop's concerned. That's exactly why.
Now, you're living out here in the Concordia area.
Yeah.
During the war, there's possibly considerable amount of anti-German feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that? Could you tell us a little bit about some of that?
Yeah, but I don't know whether I ought to or not.
Well, you don't have to name any names.
Well, I don't remember what the fellow's name was. Right over yonder. Well, you see that red top belly. That's part of the old Concordia Church, right there. Well, that old boy over there, some of the fellows down here in town. I was told this. See, I went to France. I left in July, third day of July, 1917. That's when I joined the army. I volunteered. I wasn't drafted. And I went on over there. I was over there like 2 weeks, being over there a year and a half. But while I was over there, they had a Lutheran preacher over there. Some of the fellows here in town served notice on him. They wanted him, if he could preach all he wanted to, but they wanted him to preach in English. So if anybody happened along, they could understand what he was saying. So it was my understanding that he preached one service of the morning in English, and then he preached one at night in German. So these boys told him they wanted that cut out. So he didn't cut it out. They went over there one night, a bunch of them did, and waited till the church was over with. And they went in and called him out, and they took him off down the road there somewhere, I don't know how far, and whipped him with a wet rope. They didn't like that a bit in the world. But he didn't preach any more German. That was the end of that. I couldn't tell you his name. I don't remember what his name was, but I know his looks. Huh?
I hope he's not taking that name.
Yeah.
But that's not telling that.
That thing like that has gone by a long time ago. Situation has changed an awful lot since then.
How about Prohibition days here in Bishop? I know the bishops. Not really a drinking type community. But.
Well, I wouldn't say that. But I know that from the number of beer cans you find along the side of the road here, and there were places and bottles and stuff like that, there's still a whole lot of them going on. But they never have sold whiskey in an open saloon in Bishop. But they do sell beer. They're selling it now. But there was a time back yonder when they didn't even sell that. We kept that out for a long, long time. Finally, they voted it in. So they sell beer down there now. As far as New Orleans County is concerned, it never has been totally dry. But I can remember back yonder one time when there was about 12 or 13 saloons in Corpus Christi alone. Open slip, too.
How about any smuggling went on? You hear any smuggling around here?
I never did hear of any of that either.
Well, back in 1928, that sort of was the end of the Prohibition.
Al Smith and Herbert Hoover were running for president. So a lot of people in Texas voted Republican. Remember how you voted, Dan?
No, I really don't. I didn't vote for Al Smith, I know that, but I don't know who I did vote for.
Heard that in some of the early days you were quite a motorcycle rider.
Yeah, I don't tell you. That's what I was supposed to have done when I went over to France. I joined a motorcycle company and organized the Special Act of Congress up here at San Antonio. But we didn't do that kind of work after we got over there. Because in order to get in on this, you had to swear on oath that you had as much as 5 years' experience as a motorcycle. And we had all had that. Some of the boys in the outfit were. Well, they were real motorcycle mechanics. Had one boy in the outfit used to ride the motor dome up at Dallas in the early days. And we had another fellow that worked for the Indian Motorcycle Company for a number of years. He used to make these practice trial runs all over the country, you know, trying out Indian motorcycles that he was working for. But I never did do any of that. Worked like that. I got into some of it before I left France, but it wasn't what we went over there.
Farming.
Well, I started farming after I come back out of the army. I was there farming more or less. Well, I didn't either right away. I farmed 2 years after I come back out of the army, and I went to work at the ice plant down here in Bishop. It was later moved to Kingsville, and I went down there and went to work down there again. And was working there in 1921 when my wife and I got married. And I worked down there then until 23 or 24, quit. Working down there at the ice plant and come back up to Bishop Went to farming. I've been farming there ever since until I retired about 7 years ago.
When you were planting, did you plant by the moon?
No.
Any particular reason?
No. I started planting about the 10th of March regardless of what kind of moon I had.
What did you raise?
I raised cotton seed all together. But after I moved over here, I didn't raise any cotton at all. I raised seed all together. A whole lot less, worry to it, and I could do practically all of it myself.
Did you raise any stock?
No
ranching cotton.
If we had anything more to do with stock, that's the tractors coming in the day. We got to use the tractors.
Did you then, in the earlier days, did you use the mules?
Oh, yeah. We used the mules all together until we got the tractors.
Did you build your house that you're living in?
No.
Back in the early 20s, there was an incident involving a Negro man that was in jail. There was a fire there, and he was killed in the fire. Do you recall anything of that incident?
What, in Bishop?
Yes, the fire was in Bishop.
I don't know anything about it.
How about the Ku Klux Klan? Do you have any?
Oh, yeah, we had a Ku Klux Klan back then in the early days. But it didn't last, oh, I don't know how many years. It didn't last too awful long. In fact, they had one in Cajun before they ever had one up here in Wichita.
Did you know some of the members?
Oh, yeah. There's quite a few of them. I knew then, though, that we're in that part, they're all dead now, as far as I can remember.
Were these men prominent in the...
Some of them were, yeah.
You know if Mr. Bishop himself had any affiliations?
No, no, that was all started after he was gone from here. I don't remember now what year that was. They were in existence here, I forgot.
Would that be before or after World War One?
It was after World War One.
Can you remember any of the events around World War Two, particularly possibly some of the anti-German feeling then? We've already talked about a little bit on that feature.
No, that's the only incident that I ever recall having happened in World War One. No, at that time, there was a whole lot more German people here then than there is now, because so many of the olds have died off. These younger kids, I see over here at this school, as I recall, they didn't teach them any farther than about the fifth or sixth grade. And if they wanted any more education than that, then they went to public school, either in here or someplace else. But there were some of them, though, he'd set the kids on up, if they wanted to go to college, or they'd send them on up here to... Oh, some place out in San Antonio, I can't think of the name place. They go to college there, a lot of them would. But most of them, though, as a rule, have gone to school down here. So they growed up in great families, and they're just not Germans like they used to be at all. Just nothing like what they used to be. We had one store down here, just in the early days, you'd go in there and you wouldn't hardly hear the English language spoken at all. German altogether. Go down there today, you won't hear German language spoken anywhere. You won't hear it. Now, there's a lot of some of them down there that could speak German all right. They do, I guess, in their homes, maybe. But out in public, I haven't heard the German language spoken down there in years. I don't remember how long. You just don't hear it anymore. This younger generation has just gotten out of it, that's all. That's the only excuse I can give for it.
Do you have any recollections of Rat Row and some of the west side of Bishop?
Yeah, there's any number of two-room houses was built over there, and they were built in rows on those vacant lots over there, and that's what they call a rat row. It later on was known as the Mexican town altogether. But in the beginning, there was a good many white people lived over there because they didn't have any houses built there for them.
Why did they call it Rat Row?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't why they called it. It wasn't. I never did know. All I knew was it called me Rat Row. Why, I never did know. You might have, but I didn't. But you were here long before I was.
I see. Did you ever hear of this Mother Lane that used to be over there, that old Mexican woman?
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about
no,
her?
No, all I know is just hearsay. I don't know anything about her. All I know is just a little hearsay out there.
Have those
hearsays? I never saw her in my life.
Did anyone ever show you that they were cured of something, or she ever helped them?
Yeah, I've got a brother that just died in Clarence. She took his tonsils out. So he never had any more trouble with it since. But now, whether that's fact or not, I don't know. That's what he said.
I see.
I don't know if that's bad. I've heard other people just hearsay that they had a lot of confidence in it. But personally, I never did. I ain't so involved.
You don't believe in that?
No.
There are a lot of out-of-state people that came in. They called them new mooners.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Have recollection of any of these?
No, I just know that they used to come and they'd sail in that Mexican town and go see her quite often. I've been told that, but I never did go over there. I wouldn't have much interest. Heard of people going over there and watching this perform on treat them and all that kind of stuff. And I never was around. I don't know a thing about it. It's just all hearsay with me.
Mrs. Miller, you have some recollections, I bet.
If you want to cut that thing off and don't want my voice on there, I'll tell you.
Well, you can go ahead.
I had one friend who went to her just as regular as she could be, as she could. When she would come, she came once a month. I don't remember how long. She stayed at a time. They built a house, a long house over there where they housed these people who came from out of town, had no place to stay. And this friend of mine believed in her and would tell how her treatments were. And she was over there one night. Now, she wasn't a liar at all. But it's awful hard to believe. But there was some people came from Aransas Pass with a man on a stretcher. They rolled him in, put him on that table. And she worked without a sheet. She'd let him see there was nothing under there. Or she'd rub her hands and get all this pus stuff, pussy. She said, I sat right there and watched that and saw him get up and walk in. I wouldn't have had the nerve to have gone. However, I told my doctor one time, he just didn't know what the matter. I said, well, I'd just better go with the doctor, what was her name? Because she couldn't do any less than you all done. But I didn't go. Oh, there were people, you'd be surprised. I mean, and they're talking about his brother. He had tonsillitis all his life. You know, where they just swelled, and he couldn't talk and hardly swallow and breathe. And he didn't, so far as we ever knew, he didn't have it anymore. Now what happened? Did she cure it? Who knows? But he didn't have tonsillitis anymore. Oh, it was some of the wildest stuff.
He thinks she did. Did or not, I don't know.
Some of the wildest
somebody did.
Told you ever heard out of your life. And this same friend of mine told a Driscoll person. Who was that, Rosen? I don't remember. Come down there. Somebody came with him or something. And didn't walk in, but they walked out. I still don't believe in him.
You tell me these things and don't believe
them. No, I couldn't believe them. I saw her get better and so on, but I got better last time. I didn't go to her. So I don't know. All they need to know is in that part of town. Whoever built that. It was blowing.
gets pretty hot out here in the summer, doesn't it?
Now, let me tell you something. We have had two or three real hot days this week. That's because it's a storm out. You know, those things, when that happens, the wind comes from the northwest or the north, the northeast, then we don't have our breeze. And more people have walked into our back door out there from town when you could hardly breathe. And as soon as this door is open, if it's not already, we're cool. A woman came out yesterday morning who was had been intended to do some work for me, and very big, fat, dark complexion woman. You know, weather bothers her. And when she walked in back there, she said, "Ooh, sure is cool right here." And what? It got hot in the afternoon because that wind got out of the wrong direction. But I tell you what, we're in a wind. I don't know what they call it in any battle, but the Navy. The flowers kept running into this over towards Chapman Ranch. This wind, and now Miss Hubb told me this. They made a study of it, and they didn't call it a wind tunnel. I don't know what they call it. I know my teeth are falling out, right? But anyway, we are bound to be in that. That's because we come from town and just thought you can't breathe. No breathe anywhere. Come home and we're cool. That thing I haven't had to cover. We haven't had to cover off since the first year we put it in there. And last night I got the horse and sleeping in the cold wind. That's the truth. Cool. We use a fan very, very little at night. Just once in a great while, a little while first of the night maybe. I don't think we haven't used that fan this summer, except when the baby was here and sleeping down on the floor where she didn't get in her pen, you know, where she didn't get to. But we put it on the kitchen after I had the fire on there and we could get ready to eat. But we come out here and we would be hot.
Has it always been like that out
since
here?
Since we've been out here.
How about in the early days of Bishop? Was it nice out
yes,
here?
Well, I don't know about out here. It was right nice there for the early parts of Bishop. Early part of Bishop, we didn't have cold weather, winters. We didn't have cold winters. I've gone all winter without us putting on a coat more than once or twice. A few winters. You know, it's getting a little colder all along and a little hotter. And we had a nice breeze always, all the time.
I've heard several people in Kingsville area saying that the weather is just getting crazy.
Well, and Kingsville is one of the hardest places on the map besides Dallas. And they've got brush all between them and the bay. But we're open, you see. And unless it's real dry year, that wind coming across it, it hits us cool. But these dry years, it picks up some hot weather somewhere else. It's not so cool. But it's not that in town because people are too jammed up. You know, they can't get the breezes.
Did you ever go out to that park that Mr. Bishop fixed that something?
Oh, good morning.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we caught it. What are you talking about?
How did you catch it?
Huh?
I caught him, finally, yeah.
Did she propose to you or did you propose to her?
There never was any of it done. We just went together so long that was.
Kind of a mutual agreement, I guess.
You know, he went away and was in the service, and then about 21 months, wasn't it? 3 months before you left, and nearly 18 before he came back.
Well, I was going back about 2 weeks, a bit a year.
And when he came back, he had to work and make some money. You can't, or we wouldn't then start out on nothing. Kids do the same, both of them work. But we started going together in 13?
Might have part 13 or 14.
No, it wasn't the last part either. It was warm weather. And he roomed right across the street from me. watched me chase a chicken one day, and he said I fell down. I didn't do it. I fell to catch the thing. You know how you fall and reach? And he said I fell. I fell on purpose. And then missed that leg, that chicken. Oh, we used to, not since we've been over here. But long we lived west of town, and we had hogs and chickens and cows and what have you.
Did you butcher in the winter time or just any?
We did about 2-3 winters, didn't we, Ernie?
Yeah.
And killed chickens. I canned one year. We had over 900 cans of vegetables and meat. Chickens. Pigs and calves. I wish we had one now, don't you? I looked at the down at Murphy's this evening, and 2-3 steaks in there. No ground meat.
How much was steak back in the beginning?
I imagine about 25 cents a pound. That's as I remember when you say 25 cents. Steaks. And round steak was the cheapest you could get. And look how long it's been most expensive. Nickel for a loaf of bread. But I don't talk about that. That makes us seem old, you know. I just heard Mom talk about it.
How much do you pay for eggs in those days?
We didn't pay for eggs. We had our own.
Most
at home, and after we married, we were in Kingsville for a while, we didn't pay. But I don't have any. I had 9 cents a dozen, maybe. Don't you imagine? What they weren't.
Huh?
Eggs.
Did oh, that.
We didn't pay 10 cents a dozen, did we?
Oh, I think so. About that.
Yeah. 8 to 10.
There was a time back then. I don't remember now what year it was though, but I remember we sold a few dozen eggs for almost $1 a dozen at one time, but I don't remember what year it was.
You mean we did?
Yeah.
Must have been about 10 dozen.
Well, Mama did, but.
Yeah, I think so.
My mother did.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
How did you folks do during the
Depression?
We did all right. But I don't know how people in town did. Some of the farms didn't because they gone in too deep and borrowed every year to live, you know. But we had plenty to eat. But it wasn't anything but beans and potatoes and canned stuff and chickens. Well, we had chickens and eggs.
Did
I could do a whole lot better than I can do today. I can tell you, I can't think of anything to eat.
Did you raise a garden out here?
Not out here, a little bit. We never were much of gardens. You didn't need to. The people who sold the vegetables and all, and everybody else, they had gardens. Well, they couldn't sell it all, and all you had to do was just go out and get it. Can it? We had some, all right, but not like, not to a can. So we had lots of friends. Old canners and sealers and all that. Processed it.
But when you slaughtered hogs and calves, and you get together with a neighbor or something?
Yeah, there was always somebody. Gray. No, he wasn't over there when we killed. Who did? Lawson and.
Yeah, some of them do that. Some of them have enough hands on the places that they didn't have to call on anybody else. A lot of these big farmers, you know, maybe have 10 or 15 Mexicans living on the place, you know. They'd get them to do the work for them. Of course, they're just like me and my wife, or we have to get one or two, and they just come help us.
They'd kill it and block it, and then I like to pay. Make the sausage, make the lard. I like it, but we had to cut the bone out of the hands down here. Now, where you live? Where are you from?
Well, I was born in the
mine. Well, it's cold. Anyway, we had weather to cure all that stuff. But we could do that in North Texas, too. They could. I went over there. But anyway, we had to take the bones out of the hams and so on. You don't get the salt in there, so it wouldn't go through and far. But I could cut that out pretty easy. I just love to do it.
How about making preserves, jams, and jam?
Well, now, we've never had too much of that because, we've made a lot of it, but the fruit's brought in. I had figs at one place. And then I buy figs sometimes and make them, and we'd buy peaches and stuff like that. But it doesn't grow down here. And this year, at the price of peaches, I wouldn't want for that many. Peaches, what the peaches would cost, what the sugar would cost. Of course, you never count your work. That doesn't amount to anything. It's yours. Without that, it makes it expensive. We don't eat enough for that. Without family.
So back there in the early days of mission, that was important.
What?
The being able to preserve and can. That meant a big thing for the families then, didn't it?
Well, we didn't start. Now, just like you all were, always, my mother in North Texas, you know, they always canned stuff and fruit, especially. You know. Well, when we came down here, I can't remember Mom ever canning anything from Mountain Plain. You could go buy what you get, and the other you did without. But our canning wasn't on a big scale here. I mean, a fruit wasn't a vegetable. And law, we didn't need it as bad as a lot of folks up there. We were a whole lot better off than a lot of those people where we came from. For one thing, everybody had more money. I think, don't you?
I think so. But what they're going to do about this living and getting by out in the future, now, I don't know what's going to come of
that. We may get hungry now.
Something's going to happen.
Well, you know, I told you they didn't have any meat at Murphy's. Well, the other shelves weren't full like they always keep them. I couldn't even find any canned butter beans. He liked them.
What do you think the future holds for Bishop?
As much as it does anybody else.
Do you think the town will grow?
No. The town proper won't grow. The homes, the residences, they've grown like mad. But the town will never be anything but a little hometown, thank goodness. You go to Kingsville if you want dry goods or clothes. We have had some nice places here. One night there was a brush shop down here now.
There was a time that there wasn't a vacant building down there. But after Selmy's come in here and these oil companies come in here, they just won't trade here. Just wouldn't do it. They just go somewhere else to do their trading.
So the town just has...
You're not going to have a business down there if you don't have somebody to trade with you.
Kingsville's too close, Alice, and then Robstown. Robstown hadn't been anything much. It has grown the last few years. But Corpus, of course, is just about 15 minutes away. Kingsville, Alice. And people will go where they've got a bigger selection. They didn't give Bishop a chance, you know.
I'll tell you what the future holds for this outfit. And you may live long enough to see it, too, but I won't, probably. But it's not going to be very many years that there won't be any use for a so-called white man.
Have you got that on?
Like me or you, to run for any kind of office from San Antonio on down to the Rio Grande, because you will not be elected.
Don't you leave that
on? Latin American people are taking it over.
You hear? Don't you leave that on there?